And I don't really take a lot of things that trolls say seriously, but I did appreciate the fact that there was no engagement on my account. There was no engagement there. I wasn't interacting. And how valuable is a perspective you're sending out if nobody's taking that in? If I'm trying to educate people and I'm trying to help them and no one's commenting, no one's interacting, then frankly, that message isn't going anywhere. And I might as well just be burning my money and my time, lighting it up on fire because I'm wasting it. Hello, friends, and welcome to the Higher Standard Podcast, where we give you ultra premium, unfiltered truth when it comes to building your wealth and curating the lifestyle of your dreams. No games, no drama, and no shenanigans. I am your host, Chris Nahibi, and I'm here to help you distill the immense amount of information and disinformation out there on the interwebs and give you the opportunity to choose a higher standard for yourself. There are no gurus here, and no one gives a damn about how wealthy you look. I'm an attorney and a banker, amongst other things. Does that mean you should listen to me? Hell no. This is just full disclosure that while we talk about money, wealth, law, investing, and a lot of related topics, you should always speak to your own advisors for an opinion tailored to your unique investment perspective. I am obligated to tell you that nothing contained in this show is in fact legal or investment advice and is being provided solely for entertainment purposes. So sit back, relax your mind, and get ready for a different kind of podcast where we elevate your baseline in crispy, high-resolution audio. This isn't a different standard, it's the higher standard. So, I made a mistake. There's no other way to put it. I fucked up. I fucked up bad. But rather than run from it and start over, I decided that I was going to fix the problem and I was going to be open and use it as a learning experience. So what are we talking about? We're talking about social media. And I know that some people might roll their eyes right away and say, oh my God, why do I care about social media? Well, don't just write it off. Social media impacts our world in a way that you and I and everybody around us don't really appreciate anymore. We see it as a value add or really an annoyance. But the fact of the matter is, it is a source of information that people, a lot of people all over the world are getting their information from. So whether or not you're using social media to weaponize your business, to build a personal brand, or just to post your family photos, you need to understand you either a creator or you are a consumer. And if you're paying for it, you're probably understanding the process. And if you're not paying for it, you are the product. You, your individual account, the things that you look at, the things that you do, it's all tracked and logged and weaponized against you for the creators, for the people selling products. And half the time, you don't even realize it. So let's take a couple minutes. Let's talk about how I fucked up, the things that I've learned in just, frankly, the last year, and how my perspective has changed. And then towards the end of this conversation, I'm going to drop some really interesting tips that I've learned along the way that's helped me grow my social media platform, helped me put together a real brand and feel. And then I'm going to break it down into how I distribute and disseminate that information so that it can be used in the most efficient way possible. Because keep in mind, I got companies that I work with. I got a full-time job. I've got you know, two firms that I run on the side. I've got my own real estate portfolio. I've got a family. We all have things we have to do. You can't spend a tremendous amount of time on content creation if your real focus is to run a business, unless your business is derived from that content creation. So what happened? About a year ago, I decided that during the pandemic, I saw a lot of people blowing up on TikTok, a lot of people on Instagram, and it magnified an existing issue on social media. People that were not necessarily qualified, not necessarily subject matter experts, providing a whole lot of information that was either disinformation, information that wasn't correct and specifically designed to steer you towards their course that they were selling, or it was just recycled, regurgitated information from Google. And you notice that the comments really didn't address any of those concerns, or they were very, very broad in general. Not a big deal, I guess, if you're trying to help people. But, you know, the one thing I'll say is, as a professional, as somebody who's worked in the lending business, has worked in banking for decades now, as somebody who's an attorney, as a general contractor, broker, I love real estate. I'm passionate about it. It's what I do. I made a lot of mistakes in my youth growing up, and the only way I can really pay it forward is to help stop this spread of information that really is either short of the full description and the full picture, or is just blatantly wrong and people are trying to sell you something that isn't going to get you to where you really want to go in most cases. Again, I'll always get a comment from somebody telling me about there's the exception to the rule and, you know, things are different. But that's not the point of this conversation. The point of the conversation is to tell you why I got on social media really aggressively. And just like everybody else listening to this, at one point in time, we were all consumers of social media. I decided to become a creator, to weaponize it, to help build my personal brand, to help provide a good resource of information, and to grow and spread that message in a way that also helped provide positivity and motivation and a little bit of reality to a world where people are getting sold and becoming a millionaire overnight. I knew that I didn't know enough about it. My background is educated as it might be and is informative as my background might be in certain topics. You can't assume that you know everything. So I knew nothing, and I knew that. I knew how to use the basic structure of Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, Twitter and LinkedIn. But I didn't understand how to weaponize them in a powerful way. So I focused on the one that I was already on. I started on Instagram. And I thought, okay, well, people are paying services to manage it for them. So I'm going to find a service. And I did. I went out there and I talked to a couple different people. And I settled on a service that was supposed to help me grow. They'd worked with major brands. They were very well known. Millions of followers. Lots of connections. And I thought I had done my due diligence. I thought I was working with somebody. And I spent a lot of money hiring them for growth services, right? And my account grew. It grew rapidly. Well, I'll tell you right now, that was a terrible idea. It was the beginning of a very painful learning experience. And my account, which was originally at probably around mid, low 30,000 followers, had springboarded up to about 60,000 followers. And I noticed quickly in comments that trolls were making, frankly, on some of the posts that I was making and some of the comments that I'd had on other people's pages. They came back to my page and they were looking to attack. And the first thing they always attacked was, "Hey man, you got no comments. Hey man, you got no likes. Hey man, these are bots." And I don't really take a lot of things that trolls say seriously, but I did appreciate the fact that there was no engagement on my account. There was no engagement there. I wasn't interacting. And how valuable is a perspective you're sending out if nobody's taking that in? If I'm trying to educate people and I'm trying to help them and no one's commenting, no one's interacting, then frankly, that message isn't going anywhere. And I might as well just be burning my money and my time, lighting it up on fire because I'm wasting it. So I took a hard look at everything and recognized the trolls are right. You know, there was a lot to be done. So what I did is I really dove down deep and I talked to some industry professionals and I found out some things that we all need to consider. Engagement is down definitely after the pandemic, where it kind of springboarded way up, on, especially on platforms like TikTok, where there was amazing growth in a short period of time. Engagement's down across all platforms. And when you think about it in the Instagram world, people generally don't follow people they don't know, and they don't like comments. They don't really engage the same way they used to anymore. So I won't say the comments in and of themselves or likes in and of themselves are a barometer of how successful your account is and how far your reach is, but you can get those metrics on a professional account on Instagram. I learned the hard way that anytime someone throws out big names to you, that's generally not somebody who's very credible. And the reason why is when you think about it from a business perspective, and I'm stupid for not having thought about it earlier, anybody that I work with that's a high net worth individual or celebrity has always made me sign an NDA. Their people do it. They do it directly. You just sign one. And I can't mention their names. It's why I've never mentioned my clientele base to anybody. It's because I can't. I've got contractual obligations which limit me from doing so, not to mention the fact that there's attorney-client privilege there as well. So that was a red flag I didn't appreciate. And we know that a lot of accounts are fake. So many are fake. And when you're trying to grow an account in a professional way, you realize quickly that you get hit up daily for things like, "Hey, man, let me help you get your account verified. Let me get you that verification. Let me get you that tick mark." But you know Instagram tells you can't buy it, except that's not true. So let's go into the period of things where I teach you the things that I've learned in the last several months that have really, really worked out well for me and that I think will propel me to the next level. Let's break down what I'm doing now versus what I was doing before. I no longer have a growth service. I'm not using that. I got rid of that company right away and decided that the first thing I needed to do was clean up my account. So I'm working with somebody whose sole job it is to go into my account and block, in some cases, just block all the bot accounts to get rid of them. And you can only do so many at a time before triggering Instagram's algorithm. So you have to have somebody who knows what they're doing. And this person goes into my social media account, goes to the followers, and actually essentially removes these bot accounts, these fake followers from my account. You can only really do 100 or so at a time, and you can really only do about that much throughout a day, but you need to consult a professional who's actually done that and knows the algorithm and knows Instagram well enough. You've got to do it. And I could have easily just closed the account down and started a new one, but I chose not to do that. And I created this problem. I'm going to dig my way out of it. And in this digging my way out of it process, I'm going to learn about all the things I need to learn. And that's effectively what's been happening. So you'll notice my followers on Instagram have gone down. They were north of 70,000. They've now dropped down below. I think they're in the 69,000. But I'm also getting followers at a pretty good clip now. Not as fast and frankly, not too fast like I had before. And that's because of a few things. Number one, I'm active a lot on Instagram. I'm triggering the algorithm because I'm constantly on it. Number two, I actually am paying for promotion ads. So you need to understand, in order to do that, you can't promote a reel. While reels are very favored, a short form video format is very much favored on Instagram right now, those actual posts that you make, those pictures or the short form video format that's between 30 and 60 seconds, those you can actually promote. So having a good mix of posts, having a good mix of reels, and having a good mix of stories in your feed are going to all trigger your algorithm in a very positive way. And you got to figure out the perfect cocktail for you and your business, but you got to understand that's out there. Because you have to appreciate that Instagram, for you, for me, for all of us, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, is essentially a living business card. And people look at it, and they look at it and go, oh my God, this person's life is so great. Or, oh my God, this company's products are so great. But the reality is, you're getting sold on a business card. If I made a beautiful spreadsheet, and laminated it and handed it and gave it to you and said, look at this amazing company you could work with, you would know that spreadsheet was made to sell you on something. But yet we don't think that when we see someone's Instagram page. So all of us need to treat Instagram pages that we see that we're not close to that way. And I think that's why we see the engagements and likes coming down a little bit, because people tend to feel that way now, like, oh, this is curated. And that's okay. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be curated. I'm selling you on my expertise, and I'm trying to teach and provide a service. There's nothing wrong with being honest about that. But what I'm not doing is I'm not trying to sell you a course. I'm not trying to sell you on a product. You get this for free. So Instagram's going a little bit. So we take those posts, not the reels, because you can't do it, and we start promoting them. And then you get metrics, and you get to see how they respond, and you get to see how people interact with them, and you get to see engagement, and you pick up followers. You pick up followers at a pretty decent pace. And that's been kind of offsetting the people that we've been unfollowing every single day. On a daily basis, we usually lose about 100 to 200 people that we unfollow or have, you know, blocked or remove them from following us. And we pick up, you know, between 50 to 60, you know, maybe sometimes 70 followers a day that way organically. And it works. It's great. You don't want to go the other way where you grow too fast. And you see a lot of people out there who are pumping courses and doing all that stuff, doing that. They're on a lot of these pages that promote them and say, hey, go follow X, go follow Y. There is a necessary place and time for that, I'm sure. But if you're a smaller page and you're below a million people and you're trying to grow, that ain't the way to do it. Because what you will get is shadow banned. Your account will look aesthetically exactly the same as everyone else's account. But all those fake follows, all those fake likes, all that fake engagement will mean that Instagram's algorithm is smart enough to pick it up and they won't show your account to new people. As a matter of fact, until I had started to go through the process I just told you about, no one new would follow me. I would go days, weeks without a new follower, not a single follower. And people who were looking at the feed, my story feed, nothing. So there is a huge impact to giving in to that temptation of acknowledging that. Another thing I'll tell you about, the gray market that is verification. If you are not a very well-regarded celebrity, maybe an author of a book or somebody who's in journalism, who happens to meet certain criteria that Instagram is looking for, it is a very known thing that there is a gray market where you can buy verification. You pay for a service, usually north of $10,000. I've heard as high as $25,000. They put out press on low SEO pages for you, and they get you verified. They'll submit you through a portal, a PR portal, to Instagram for verification, and you will meet the notoriety requirements because they put out these low SEO pages for you. It's terrible that that blue check mark has been vandalized in that way, but In a lot of ways, us as consumers, we put a lot of respect and credibility behind that because it's authentic, it's real, it's verified, it means there's somebody. But what does that really mean? Not a whole lot. And I'm not saying that because I'm currently unverified or not verified. I'm saying that because honestly, I look at some people that are verified and I scratch my head and say, who the hell is this? And why, what you do, what? And that's the perspective you need to keep. You need to go into things with eyes wide open, because that is a product you can buy on the secondary market. And a lot of people do. And if you've ever seen somebody's page and it doesn't make any sense and you can't Google them and find out who they are, and they're not a journalist and there's no real artistic need for them to have that level of notoriety, that's what happened. They bought it. So just know that. Instagram is typically the hardest. While on the other side, TikTok, let's talk about TikTok for a second. TikTok is all organic, and I didn't make any mistakes there. Everything on TikTok, we have about, you know, a little less than 4,700 followers at the current moment organically on TikTok. We've only been on there for, you know, 4 or 5 months. That is pure organic growth. But the time where you've grown like wildfire has really slowed down dramatically post-pandemic. People are outside again. It's also the summertime as I sit here. People are less inclined to be as active as they once were because they're just busy doing other things. And that's just the way TikTok's going to happen. And it's going to continue to be, you know, flooded with new users the same way Instagram was new and cool. And now it's really just an extension of Facebook. Even before Facebook bought it, it was that new cool thing and it was flooded with the younger generation. I really think TikTok's that, and short form video format's the future. One of my cheat codes is you'll see a lot of the TikTok stuff that I do, short form video format, show up in the feeds and Instagram daily, because I'll post 1 to 2 times a day on TikTok, where that kind of speed and velocity of posting is really, you know, beneficial for you, because it doesn't really matter when you post and how much. It's just, you know, how many shots can you get across the bow in a day that are decent quality content. Versus Instagram, one of the lessons I had to learn there is I was posting twice a day, every day there too. You need to slow down. If you don't have followers and engagement, you're not giving your content enough time to really get the engagement, because people are going to look at your most recent stuff. So I went from 2 times a day on Instagram posting down to 2 to 3 times a week. And I only post at peak hours. So typically Sunday evening or after work, and people are most heavily on social media, because I want to make sure that people that are there are registering and they're doing their thing. Now, these don't work for everybody. They're not absolute things, but these are just fundamental values that I think if you did, you're in a better position than most people are going into it trying to figure things out. Now, let's talk about quality of content too. On Instagram, your content should be curated. It should be artistic. It should be well thought out. It should be your best performing stuff. And if you're constantly putting stuff out on stuff like TikTok, your TikTok stuff needs to be more organic, needs to have more of your face in it, needs to seem like it's less curated, less built. Now, I prefer a beautiful product. So I have 2 cameras every time we do any kind of recording, 2 Sonys, because the color profile is the same. And we film stuff once a week. We also do some voiceover work. But you don't need to have any of that stuff to blow up on TikTok. You just need to have an iPhone, and you need to produce consistent content in a category and stay true to that category, and you'll be fine. We take a bit of a different tack. It's not really aimed at growth there. It's aimed at education and a little bit of celebrity content, because that's really what pops off. If I did what everybody else did on TikTok, I would just focus on the celebrity content and let the count grow like wildfire. We do pretty well. I mean, we get way more views on the celebrity content than we do on anything else. That's the way it works. We also repurpose a lot of that content for YouTube Shorts, which is kind of that repository that YouTube has built up. And I believe YouTube Shorts, their beta, which is their short form video format, less than a minute content, is really going to blow up. So we post there every single time we post on TikTok. I push that to YouTube Shorts. But I also have now started pushing content in a little bit longer form video format, somewhere between the neighborhood of 5 minutes to no more than 15 minutes. We do it once every other week right now for YouTube, and we try to keep it on content that does well educationally on Instagram and TikTok. And I kind of let the environment tell me what we should be talking about, as opposed to going in with a mindset that we need to talk about this or we need to talk about that. So these formats have all grown organically, except for Instagram, where I made that massive mistake, and I'm still trying to clean it up and I'm still trying to work with it. But at the same time, I've seen the value in the format of Twitter. A lot of celebrities, notoriety, you know, notable people use Twitter, and we look at it and we downplay it. But one of the things, if you Google my name, you'll find that Twitter comes up and the actual feed comes up when you Google my name. So you actually get the content from my Twitter directly in the Google search. There's a tremendous amount of value there. And I'll tell you the reason why is your value proposition is best communicated quickly to anybody, no matter what business you're in. So if you're in the business of being online and you want to build your personal brand, if someone Googles your name, if they can see your Twitter information come up on Google in one single search, they've now found you faster. They visually see your content, some of your direct content right there. That's powerful. Owning the way your content is dispersed is hugely impactful. So I've seen the value in Twitter, and I'll see the value in whenever I feel like I want to say something quickly without having to put together some curated content or write something. There's two great places for that. Number one, it's Twitter. Number two, it's my Instagram story, right? So you can use these certain vehicles, and the more you get into them, the more you realize where what things go where. And a little bit about creating content that I think everybody should appreciate. You should have, if you're posting for a brand or you're posting for yourself personally, you should have 3 to 5 types of format that you consistently do, and you do them over and over again. If you go to my Instagram feed, at my actual Instagram account, you'll see that we post educational content with me on camera, the two Sonys I was talking about. We record those once a week. The voiceover audio, where you don't see my face. In some cases, you see me overlaid on top of it, where we just teach you something really quickly in a short form video format, usually between 30 and 50 seconds, right? And the third one is that celebrity content. And we just recycle through those. We post 2 to 3 times a week, and we just keep, the next one's up is the next one up in line, and that we post the best one that's performed on TikTok and other places, or something that might be socially relevant, like Rihanna becoming a billionaire. We post that to the account, and we let it sit there for some time. We let it marinate. But creating those formats and having an idea of what they look like for consistent posting will help you be consistent, take the stress off of you having to create this content, and you'll know the format. All you've got to do is come up with the actual content. So your imagery stays the same. The aesthetic stays the same. You got to have your colors of your brand that represent you. Like, for example, I know my gold color is the accent to the black and white that we use. It's B1976B. That's the hex code. You just use it so much, you know it. You can go to Canva, you can go to Adobe Spark, and you can create 3 types of posts that you can repeat. If you're a real estate agent, you should have one for homes sold, for newly listed homes. You should have one for educational content that you put out, once or twice a week, and you should have another one for just tips of information or things that you've done. You definitely need to have one that involves your face on camera. So once you come up with those basic formats, you just rotate them. And now all the pressure on you to create this stuff comes down to just you filling in the blanks with content. And if you're an industry matter, subject matter expert, coming up with the stuff to put into those that format should be relatively easy for you. It should be something that's smooth, because you're here to help people in a way that you're supposed to be good at or an expert at. And if you're one of those two things, you'll know what to say. Another thing I think people get really stuck on is they don't start, right? Chris, I've always wanted to start a YouTube account, but I don't know where to start. It doesn't matter how you start. If you look at my Instagram account, you go down to the bottom, you'll see how our format has evolved over time. It's aesthetically a lot more pleasing and put together now, I think, than it was during the last 6 months. And I think the reason why is we've learned what works, we learned what we liked, and then we twisted knobs and dialed it in and improved it. And one of the things you can see a clear break from is when I decided that I wasn't going to delete the Instagram account, that I was cognitively aware of how badly I'd screwed it up and how low engagement was. I also decided that aesthetically, I was going to rebrand to a new gold format. And the stuff that didn't look absolutely perfect when I put it up, I left it there because I want there to be a visual evolution in my brand. And I want there to be a visual learning, because we're not perfect as human beings. And anybody who comes to my account, I want you to see, I've made mistakes along the way. I fucked this up. I'll be the first one to tell you. The other social media account type that I use that I tell people a lot about is LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn's a great place to go. It is predatory in a lot of ways. People hit you up socially, but LinkedIn is a great way to post. If you actually have a resume or you have experience or an education, being on LinkedIn is not a bad thing. It's a good backbone place for people to find you. It has high-level SEO. If someone Googles your name, it shows up. Matter of fact, my Google Knowledge Panel, if you Google it, typically pulls from my LinkedIn because it has such a high level of SEO. And it's out there. Another thing, I'll drop a little hint for most people. There are a lot of people paying to get you advertisements in Forbes and all these websites. I've done that. That came with my first initial package with that company that I talked to you about that kind of really put me in this situation. And they're a reputable brand. They're big. I'm not going to name them because I'm kind of shocked that this happened to me and that's the space, but it's real. I'm out there on probably 15, 20 of those articles. Big mistake. Terrible mistake. You can do that if you want to get verified from Instagram, and I respect and get that, but that is not the way that you really want to be out there, because there's no SEO. Those things disappear in the next 6 months to a year. They're not going to be there long term. So unless you have some short term benefit and like trying to get verified, I don't know if that's going to help you. And I will say, if you are verified on Instagram, it is significantly easier to then in turn get verified on TikTok, because TikTok wants the creators from Instagram to come over to TikTok. So it's significantly easier to become verified on TikTok if you're verified on Instagram first. Unfortunately, for a lot of the creators that came up during the pandemic, they became very big on TikTok and haven't been able to convert the majority of their audience over to other platforms like Instagram, like YouTube, because it's just a different demographic, which is why we try to grow each one of them separately. You know, on YouTube right now, I've got like 140 something followers, not thousands, not 10, just 140 something. But we're learning it. We're starting from scratch. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to get better, and we're trying to do what we can. The whole point of this conversation is to say, I've made some mistakes along the way. Don't make those same mistakes. Don't go for the short, easy win to try to compete with people. And look, my honest intent originally was I'm just going to try to do what everybody else does, and maybe this is the way they do it. And I didn't recognize how bad it was until it was too late. Don't fall victim to that. Don't pay for any of these things. You really don't need to. If you really, really, really want to be verified, that might be the way to go if you're not somebody who's a notable person. But any of these platforms can be started by just jumping in and doing it. In today's day and age, more than anything else, your personal brand has value. Who you are is really quantifiable online. And I spent decades of my career thinking that my career in and of itself was going to help me build my personal brand. Oh, I'm a big person because I did X, because I did Y. Well, the majority of people in society aren't that. They don't care if you're the CEO of a local community company, or that your company's big, or you're a smaller company that's traded on the public stock exchange. Most people don't know that. The internet is a great equalizer. And as a result of this great equalizer space, I go online and I try to provide good financial savvy advice. Somebody who's a licensed attorney, decades of experience. And I know this sounds like me being braggadocious. It's not. I'm just trying to give you a backbone. I don't care if you think I'm a moron. It's okay. I do stupid things a lot. But the other person online who's got more followers than me, who might be, you know, a 20-something-year-old, is going to get just as much, if not more, respect because she's visibly more quantifiable. She's visibly more verifiable than me on Instagram. More people engage with her content than they do with mine. So you have to go into these things with no ego, with the humility and the willingness to fail. But failing doesn't mean you stop. Failing doesn't mean you delete your Instagram and start over from scratch and try to rebrand yourself as a fake person. No, this is who I am. This is what I did. Now I'm going to get out there. I'm going to use it as an educational experience. I'm going to take my L like a man. And then I'm going to go out there and I'm going to change it. So if you're starting social media, get out there and do it. Check out Canva, check out Adobe Spark, get some consistent, you know, spend a couple hours figuring out some aesthetics that work for you to consistently post. Check out my profiles, ask me questions. I'm here to help. Anything I can do to, you know, put you in contact with the right people or, you know, point you to the right pages to look at for motivation, for inspiration as it relates to these topics, I can do that. There's a lot of pages and people that help me out along the way. I'm just looking to pay it forward. Thank you for tuning in. It's been a little bit longer one than I normally like, but there was a lot to say here and a lot to cover. Love and appreciate you. Like, subscribe, tell me what you think. Love to hear from you. Till next time. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation on the Higher Standard Podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe or follow on whatever platform you are listening to this on. If you like this episode, please write a review and share it with us. You're getting the show up and running right now, so every message, every review, and every note counts. This show exists to showcase what's possible when leaders decide to uphold a higher standard for their businesses, their investments, their families, and most importantly, themselves. If you want to see more of my content, I post daily on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, so be sure to follow me on your favorite social media platform. And with that, it is a wrap. And as always, I look forward to hanging with you all on the next episode.